Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Grand Cast. I'm your host, Chris N. Today is Friday, March 3rd, 2017. It is 9 p.m. My guest tonight is Kristen Hirsch.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me. I've never done a podcast on my own. I did one with No Outlet a couple months ago.
Was that the Netflix one?
It was for Couch Potatoes Unite. Potatoes. And we talked about our comedy inspirations.
I was there for that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, but this is my first time being alone, so thank you for having me.
Excellent. Thank you for breaking my all-male streak of guests.
Yes, I'm very excited. I saw that it was looking a little male-heavy when I...
It was.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm proud to be that person.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. So I usually start out going over the mission statement and the goals for the podcast for any new listeners. And the mission statement is, the purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. Unchanged from the previous 2 weeks, I haven't found anything to add or remove, although I have been contemplating removing the comedy scene in. So it would just be exploring Grand Rapids through a series of conversations, if I want to branch out from just comedy.
Interesting.
I'm not sure yet, because there's all the local music, local artists. Like, there's a lot of people in town that it would be interesting to talk to.
Yeah. I mean, eventually you're going to run out of people in the comedy scene. But if you want to keep this going, you should branch out.
Yeah. But there's so many comedians, too. I think I could have a different comedian on every week for a year.
That's true. There are a lot. And there's more. It seems every day, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Even just improv. Like, I haven't even got it to any stand-ups yet. Like, that's a whole segment of the comedy scene that I haven't delved into yet.
Yeah. There's so many different kinds of comedy, too. Sketch comedy and all kinds of stuff.
Are there people that you know of in Grand Rapids that only do sketch comedy?
Yeah, I think a lot of the late night Grand Rapids people only do sketch. Like Sean Francis is on No Outlet, so he does both. But I think the rest of them mostly do just sketch most of the time. I mean, I'm sure all of them have done improv, you know, and dabbled. Actually, no, Al Watt does.
Oh, yeah.
He does stand up.
Like KJ, I don't think I've seen him do improv.
Mm-hmm. And,
Sarah.
Yeah, I think she mostly just does sketch. Yeah.
Hmm. That might be another facet of the community to explore at some point.
Yes.
And the goals for the Grand Cast. First one is to post one new episode weekly. That's on me. The second one is to make at least one person's day better through the creation of quality content. And I feel like you bear some responsibility this evening for achieving that goal.
Well, keep the beer coming.
This beer is the Walla Walla IPA from the filling station in Traverse City, Michigan, where I was earlier today, and I got a growler.
Oh, you were there today?
I was. I went up there for work, and the office I was in was near the filling station, so I stopped in for a pizza and got a growler.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's quite tasty.
It is. I didn't like IPAs for a long time. I thought I didn't like that, like, hoppy flavor.
Yeah.
And then I just started drinking a lot of beer, and people had IPAs sitting around, and you don't turn down free beer, so
no.
I would drink them, and eventually it just kind of grew on me. So I like them now.
Your palate developed?
Yes. That's what I'll call it. I still like how when I walked in, you were like, can I offer you something to drink? I have water. I have juice. I could make hot tea. Mm-hmm. And then there was like this long pregnant pause. And you were like, I also have beer.
And wine.
And wine, which I thought was entertaining that you saved that for last.
Oh, well, I don't like to encourage.
As if I might choose a hot tea over a cold beer. I mean, you're right, maybe. Different strokes, right?
Yeah, it's cold out. Nice hot tea is sometimes enjoyable.
Don't they make hot beer in like some hot parts beer. Of the world?
Huh.
Like grog. Isn't grog like a hot beer that they serve in, I'm going to say like Germany, but that's probably not right.
Pirate ships?
Yes, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
I've never had grog, I don't think. Like England, they serve beer room temperature, mm-hmm. I think. I don't know about hot.
We're going to have to look this up. I'm gonna put a pin in that to look it up. Because I think they serve hot beer
somewhere.
Write
that one down.
Okay, I'm going to write it here. Hot beer?
Question mark? That could be a niche in Grand Rapids that needs to be developed. Like, there's no hot beer bar.
No, we're Beer City, USA. And I don't know of hot beer anywhere.
It's all cold. It's not even room temperature.
No.
Huh. Grand Rapids has such a lack of diversity. Not like just beer.
Yeah, like it doesn't sound awful, does it? On like a cold day and somebody's like a steaming mug of beer.
A hot toddy. But
yeah, but beer?
I would try it.
I would try it.
We're onto something.
I'm going to write niche under it.
Ooh.
Because I do think that's something that we can explore.
Yeah. Just go to Founders and be like, yeah, can you microwave that for like 15 seconds?
Exactly. Get it real nice and steamy.
You could start a new trend. Like if one hipster at Founders saw you microwaving a beer, probably within a month, like half the city would be hot beer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Quite a trend center like that. How would you, if you had to, if that's what you wanted to do, how would you heat it up on the fly like that if you did not have access to, like, a bar's microwave? Do you think you could carry around, like, a little hot pot? Because they make hot pots that you can plug into your cigarette lighter.
Maybe one of those chemical hand warmer packets?
Yeah.
Or it would be wasteful, but...
mini camping stoves?
Like a gas-powered kerosene
ones?
The
little tiny ones, yeah, that you can heat, like, a can of SpaghettiOs on.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, if this is going to take off, it needs to be sustainable, right? Like, people need to be able to do this.
Even in bars that aren't
that refuse.
In on the trend yet.
Yeah.
Or refuse, yeah, just out of principle.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You could have a whole line of hot beer accessories. Not just, like, koozies, traditionally used to keep beer cold.
Right.
Would also work to keep hot beer hot.
I think, yeah. Like thermoses would come back in fashion.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, or the insulated like stainless steel growlers used to keep beer cold also works to keep beer hot.
I think we're onto something.
That's a $1 million idea right there.
But see, we're going to look it up and I bet it's a thing. I bet it's a thing somewhere. It has to be.
Not here, though.
Not here. That's true.
Probably somewhere. Someplace warm, where, well, I don't know. That wouldn't make sense.
No.
Probably like Alaska. They do weird stuff up there.
Or Russia.
Russia.
Seems like a Russian thing, doesn't it?
They would do that.
They would. They would do that.
They have the cold winters. All right, so this first part of the Grandcast is the interview section. And I have some fresh interview questions here for you. First things first, I need to know, are you rooting for Tom or Zach tomorrow?
Oh. I have to say, this has been quite a delightful addition to my Facebook news feed.
Almost an overwhelming addition.
But not quite. They've really towed the line there. I can't pick one.
Yeah, that's very diplomatic of you.
It is. I feel like Zach has a height advantage.
Yes.
He does have that, and I feel like he's really into sports, and so he would just probably be good at them. But I'm mostly basing that on his height because I feel like tall people are just good at sports, whether they are or not. But Tom's got like really nice shoes.
He does.
And I feel like he probably can just move around the court maybe better than Zach.
More nimbly.
More nimbly. Like a little wood sprite flitting from here to there. So who knows? I say may the best man win.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
What is your favorite color?
Teal.
Like a blue green.
Because I like blue, but I also really like green. So you smash them together ground. And you get teal.
How do you feel about like aquamarine or turquoise?
There are really all kinds of shades of the color that is my favorite color. So I'm okay with it. It's like if somebody says they like blue, is that like navy blue or light blue? So when I say my favorite color is teal, I'm okay with aquamarine.
It's the whole teal family.
It's like a teal spectrum, yeah.
Okay. How did you first get started in comedy?
How did I first get started? Sorry, I don't have to repeat every question.
You can. It helps the listening audience.
Oh, okay. How did I first get started? I had always really been interested in comedy. And it was, I have two kids. After the birth of my first one, when he was about one, I was just kind of looking for something to do that was just mine. And I didn't have to, be a mom for a couple hours a day or a week. It was actually just once a week. So I started going to Comedy Sports, and I worked through their class program, and then I went into their rec league and went into there.
What is Comedy Sports? I'm not familiar with that.
It's a comedy group, sort of like Second City or IO. They're all over the country. They're actually all over the world. Oh. There's some in other countries. And it is a short form improv style, and the basis is that it's two teams competing against each other. So they will play an improv game, and then the other team will play an improv game, and it's who wins based on audience applause usually. So it's kind of a fun, interesting setup.
A little more competitive than what we have around here.
Right. I mean,
I like that.
I don't want to give too many secrets away, but like the competition sometimes is a little rigged.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's like a behind the scenes.
A little, I know, it's a little behind the scenes. I can't say anything else, but
finding out how the sausage is made.
Oh, you don't want to know.
What's the ignorance is
bliss?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
What are some of your favorite comedy movies?
Favorite comedy movies. I think one of my favorites is Anchorman. I can watch that a lot. I had a little bit of a Will Ferrell obsession for a while.
He's very talented.
He is very talented. He hasn't done too much recently that I think he had this kind of like run in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Where it was like he was cranking out one after another of really good stuff.
Talladega Nights.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger Than Fiction. How do you like that one?
I haven't seen that.
Really?
No.
It's more of a serious film. I'm trying to think what I can say without spoiling it.
That's not the one where he like is going through a divorce, right?
No, the PBR ad.
Yeah.
No, that one, that was bad. That was like straight to video. The whole movie just seemed like an ad for PBR.
Mm-hmm.
Like every shot had a PBR can in it.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was called.
Me either. I blocked that out of my memory.
But yeah,
Stranger Than Fiction. Very, very good. A little more serious, still comedic elements. It's a unique concept. I would highly recommend watching it. Even going in without watching previews or reading about it, it's that good.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know if it's a twist, but the premise is, I think, would be more interesting if you don't know going into it what it is.
All right. Well, I will not look it up. I will not. I'm going to look up Hot Beer.
Ooh.
But I'm going to write Stranger Than Fiction down.
Watch, don't look up. I don't know if that's on any streaming services. Not that I've noticed, but I haven't gone explicitly looking for it.
Did I answer the question? I also really like Zoolander. That's like one of my top favorite movies.
How did you feel about the sequel?
I didn't see it because I refused to like spoil what is in my memory. You know how when people are like dying and they're like, remember me how I was? So I don't, maybe that's a little morbid, but
Ben Stiller's career.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, no, I'm going to remember you how you were, and I will not see that movie.
I wish I had applied that policy to Dumb and Dumber 2.
Hmm.
Zoolander 2, similar thing. Ugh. Yeah. Any other favorite comedy films? Maybe something more obscure?
So when I was listening to your podcast, I noticed there were like these long blocks of silence.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's one of my favorite features of the podcast.
Is it? Yeah. Sometimes I thought like my radio would in the car, something happened.
Yep.
And now I understand why, because people are busy thinking.
I actually had on the drive up to Traverse City today, my phone paused, I think twice during the podcast. And it took me a while to realize that it wasn't just an awkward silence. Like, my phone had actually stopped playing the podcast.
Mm.
So I can understand how that would be frustrating for some listeners. So sorry about that, Josh. Sorry, Tom. And I've been informed that there are two silent viewers. So I don't know if they want their full names mentioned. So I'll just say, sorry, Matt M. and sorry, Sean M. for any pausing confusion that might occur.
Wow. That was nice of you to keep that anonymity.
It's important to me.
I personally only know one Sean M. So
it's that one.
It's that one.
Yeah.
Mm. The one with the good hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yes, thank you for going on.
Mild, medium, hot, or fire?
So this has changed recently.
Ooh.
It used to be fire.
Mm.
It used to be fire all the way. I think as I get older, my tastes have changed. And like, I still really enjoy hot things. But if it's painful, I'm just kind of like over it.
Yeah.
Like, I used to really enjoy the pain. And I just don't anymore. So now I'm a hot.
Yeah. I've been thinking about adding a hot sauce segment to the podcast. Tom Mayer has expressed interest where we'll go up trying increasing degrees of hotness, hot sauce. I'm not looking forward to that, but I think it will be not boring.
Oh, yeah.
I got some Dave's Insanity sauce.
Had that before.
Is it?
It's good.
Is it bad also?
It's bad and good. Hurt. You're supposed to, I think that's the one that you're supposed to add like a couple drops to like an entire pot of chili.
Oh, they had a ghost pepper one that was even hotter. It says like use one drop at a time.
Mm.
Oh, I'll have to look up if I need to dilute it.
Do you ever go to like Buffalo Wild Wings?
I used to until I learned more about like industrial chicken production.
Mm.
And I haven't been in a long time. I do have a bottle of their Caribbean Jerk hot sauce in the fridge, though.
That's a good one.
That's my favorite one.
That's a good one, yeah.
It's got the heat, but mostly the flavor is what I enjoy.
Exactly. I used to get the Blazin'.
Ooh.
Back in the day. And I recently, I was a vegetarian for 11 years. Mm. And I very recently, within the last couple months, started eating meat again. So I tried the blazing again, and I could not do it. I couldn't even do the one below that.
Oh.
So I had to go down two notches in my my sunset years.
I wonder if they made the sauces spicier, or if your tolerance is lower.
I think my tolerance is lower, but who knows?
Only the elves that work in the buffalo sauce factory.
Mm-hmm.
Creamy or crunchy?
In terms of what? Anything?
Yeah.
I'm going to say creamy.
Yeah, me too.
Creamy pies. Like, I love, like, cream pies. Boston cream pies. And, like, I love whipped cream. If you give me a can of whipped cream to put my own whipped cream on, it's going to get out of hand.
Will you do the, like, the whip it? Is that what they're called? When you do, like, the nitrous oxide out of the Ready Whip can?
Is that, like, a thing that people do?
Yeah, because it's laughing gas. That's, the propellant that it uses. So people will, like, suck the gas out of the can. And I guess I think it's called a whip it.
I have never tried that, and I want to so bad.
I think it works by just, like, rapidly killing brain cells.
Every so, time I get helium balloons, I always suck the helium out when they're on their way out. Yep. I never just, like, pop a helium balloon.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to waste
That's a waste.
It is.
Helium is an element.
And I think, like, once it's released, it's just, like, gone. Like, it rises out of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a limited amount, so might as well enjoy it while you got it.
Exactly.
Extra strong or extra soft?
Extra strong.
Good choice. Who or what are some of your comedic influences?
So one of my biggest influences is the show Daria.
Do you remember that show? On MTV in the 90s, yep.
Yes. I love that show. I still love it. I feel a strong kinship to Daria Morgendorfer and the way she viewed the world. I would like to see a remake of that show because I really want to see what kind of person she is now. Hmm. Even though I know in my heart that she's like a strong woman who also like does not take shit. What else? I love the show Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
And just the way... It's like magic, how they twist those stories into each other.
Weave them together.
Yes, weave them together. And they're
into a tapestry.
Yes, and they're so bizarre. And that's like the kind of comedy I like, is just the bizarre, like, what? And then it all makes sense at the end. I grew up when I was really little, sneaking out of my room at night to watch Nick at Night.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched a lot of, like, I Love Lucy, and all of, like, the Mary Tyler Moore and all of those shows. I loved I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah.
Like, when I was in fourth grade, I distinctly remember, like, sneaking out of my room to watch black and white shows. So, yeah.
Nice. What is your history with Funny Girls?
Oh, we have a sordid history. No, I'm just kidding. I have been on Funny Girls since it started back in 2015 for the Grand Rapids Improv Festival. Aaron Betka approached a lot of the women in the comedy community to form this. And I have been on it ever since. We have not broken up.
So you're one of the founding members?
Yes. I am.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Who else from the core group of founding members is left, like, still active?
Let's see. I'm probably going to miss some people, but me and Aaron, and then Carol Williams, Megan DeWitt, and Amy Gaskin. Probably missing some people. But those are the ones that I'm thinking of right off the top of my head who were there from the beginning.
Because there's a lot of members, right?
There are, yeah. People have come and gone and come back again, and it's pretty awesome. That's kind of our policy, is that if you need to step away, you can, and Funny Girls will continue on.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a nice idea where it's, I guess, like an idea of a group more than any sort of concrete
group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. It takes the pressure off of you as an individual, too.
Yeah. Where else besides Grand Rapids have you lived?
I lived in Grand Rapids when I was born through high school. Then I moved to Ann Arbor for school. And then I lived in, let's see, then we moved to California. My then fiance and I, we're married now. We started in South San Francisco because real San Francisco was too expensive. And then we moved to, basically we worked our way down the peninsula. So there's a peninsula between San Francisco and San Jose, and we gradually moved closer to San Jose. Hmm. So we started in South San Francisco, and then we lived in Redwood City and Mountain View and Sunnyvale and just kind of worked our way down. And we were there for 8 years.
8 years. All right. Mm-hmm. So you got to experience quite a lot of the Californian life.
Yes, I did.
How would you compare and contrast living in California to living in West Michigan?
California is much more liberal in most ways. But it's also less friendly. So the whole like stereotype of Midwesterners being very friendly is true. Yeah. Like when you go to like a Taco Bell and they're just so happy to be there. They smile. They ask you what kind of sauce you want. It still shocks me sometimes how happy people are when, like, in California, the people working those jobs were not happy. And I don't know. I don't know if it's just like the way people are raised, if they're raised to be like very happy and, you know, because that's kind of a thing around here is like, also around here is the whole kind of religious undertones that a lot of things have, and that is just not present in California at all. Like, things do not have religious undertones at all.
There's a lot more, like, overt atheism and anti-theism, or is it just a lack of overt religiousness?
I don't think it's overt atheism. I mean, nobody's running around saying I'm an atheist. It's just people, you don't ask people, well, what church do you go to? Like, that's just, people don't do that out there. In fact, the closest church to where we lived was a place called Ananda, Church of Self-Realization.
That sounds like California.
Yeah, that's, I never actually made it there. I was interested in going, but I didn't go. But, and what else is different? The prices of things are astronomically different. You can actually afford to, like, live here, which was more than I can say for out there. And the traffic is, I think, my number one thing, where almost 2 years later, I'm still like, I cannot believe that this is rush hour traffic. Like, people are singing in their cars. Happily driving down the street. People are, it's moving. It's moving a little slower than normal, but moving nonetheless. And in California, it takes probably an hour to go 5 miles on the highway.
I don't think I could.
All six lanes going 3 miles an hour.
Yeah. That would be a bit much. So that's probably the nicest thing about living here is the lack of traffic and just the overall attitude.
Yeah, it's just kind of a package deal. It's like it's just a better life.
What was better in California?
What was better? The Mexican food was better. There was like really good Mexican food everywhere.
Have you explored the Mexican food scene in West Michigan? Because there's some fantastic spots around.
Well, you can, I mean, I have this piece of paper here, so.
All right.
What's your favorite?
In Grand Rapids, probably Taqueria San Jose is very, very good on Division.
Okay, okay.
Tacos El Cunado.
I've been there on Bridge.
I haven't been to the Bridge one, but the one on Burton, just east of 131.
Okay.
Was very, very good. The Downtown Market one,
I've been to that one. Eh, it's all right.
And then there's one on Granville. I think it's Granville or Chicago Drive, right? Like where it switches over. That one was really good.
I recently went, actually yesterday, I went to this place called La Hastueca.
Oh. And
I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. It's right on Plainfield. But it was very good. And so that's like my new number one. Because otherwise I was going to like Donkey, which is like good.
Yeah, but they're not traditional.
But not. It's like hipster Mexican.
Yeah. Still tasty.
Still tasty. Yeah. They make a good margarita.
Mm.
But if I'm comparing it to like California Mexican food,
yeah,
not the same.
I went to a place this week in Holland called El Huateca, I think.
Mm.
And the tacos were very good, but they have a whole freezer full of homemade popsicles, either like with water or with milk. And I think they had 50 different flavors, like all kinds of fruits. And I had a cappuccino one, which was really, really good. Definitely need to go back there with like a cooler or something so I can bring back a bunch of different flavors.
Yes. Stock your freezer.
Yeah. I had a tongue taco there. Been trying to broaden my horizons a bit.
Yeah, see, I'm not ready for that.
It tastes good. It's very tender.
Really?
Yeah.
I imagine that to be so chewy.
I thought so too, but it's even more tender than any of the other meats.
Like, I'm literally chewing my own tongue right now and imagining what that would be like.
Yeah. You know? The grossest part, like, just don't look at it because you see the tongue bumps.
Mm.
Yeah. Visually, it's not very appetizing, but it tastes good.
Well, I'm proud of you for trying something that I would not.
It took me a long time to build up the confidence. I had tried them once before at a different place, and it was good.
Have you ever tried the tripe?
Oh, no, not yet. See? I'm not that brave. The cow stomach? No. And I haven't had... There's cabeza, which is head meat or face meat. It's like cheeks and lips and eyes and... I haven't gotten that brave yet.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. They're supposed to be like the most flavorful meats, though. So maybe someday.
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
if I'm intoxicated and my inhibitions are lowered, then.
You go in at closing time and they're like, all we have left is cabeza. And you'll be like, fine, I'll do it. And you'll probably like it because it's on the menu for a reason. Somebody eats it. Somebody likes it.
Hopefully. I've heard good things. People have recommended it. You ever watch Anthony Bourdain, any of his shows?
I do. I actually really like Anthony Bourdain. I like the shows.
Yeah.
I've heard that he as a person is not very nice.
Yeah. He has a very strong personality. And he was raised very privileged, and then he had a pretty serious drug addiction.
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing that.
I actually have his book over there, Kitchen Confidential. One of his, I think that was his first book.
Hmm.
It was a very good read. An interesting insight into like his backstory. But I could definitely see how he could be maybe a little arrogant.
Mm-hmm. I like, he has, what's the show he has?
There's No Reservations.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. And then there's
the layover Parts Unknown is the one that's currently in production. And he did, I think it's called A Chef's Tale or A Chef's Story.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was his very first one. That's recently added to Netflix. And then he had a YouTube series for some scotch company where they go to different, bespoke manufacturers, like people that make one-off like pairs of shoes and
mm-hmm.
frying pans and stuff to kind of explore some something craft. Like the name of the show is Something Craft. I don't remember, but if you look up Anthony Bourdain, Craft.
I do like his shows. He entertains me.
As a narrator, he's very good. And I like that his shows explore like the culture and the history of the places that he's visiting. And he's kind of digging into like the local scene there.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that aspect of it.
Right.
All right. What are some of your earliest memories of experiencing comedy? Which I think we might have touched on a little mm-hmm. bit with the Nick at Night.
I already answered this.
Yeah, sorry.
yeah, definitely the Nick at Night thing. I actually had this thing with my... I think I keep mentioning fourth grade. I think fourth grade is the year when I was really, really into it. I had this thing with my fourth grade teacher. Her name was Mrs. McCloskey. And she also watched Nick at Night. So her and I had this thing where we would like talk about what we watched the next day.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of cute.
Nice.
I'd be like, did you see last night Lucy shoving those things into her mouth? We would talk about it. I think it made me feel very like adult, you know? Because like I knew that kids my age weren't into that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I also knew that like they definitely weren't having like, you know, conversations with their teachers about it. So I was like, this is our special thing.
Yeah.
I liked that.
It's nice. Thank you for sharing. How did you first get involved with No Outlet and Dog Story Theater?
Well, when I moved back here, so you know, I said I was in California and I did comedy sports there, and there was improv everywhere. Comedy sports was there. There was also this American Improv Theater. There was another theater called Made Up Theater. Improv was kind of like everywhere.
Hmm.
And so before we even moved back, I started researching, like, what am I going to get into when I go back there? So I saw a couple things. I found like Pop Scholars and stuff when I would Google improv in Grand Rapids. And I found No Outlet and I found Comedy Outlet Mondays. So that's what I started doing, is I started coming to Com pretty much right after they first started. And I didn't know anybody there. I just would come and watch the show and do the jam and then leave. And then I think I started talking to some of the members. I think Katie Fahey and a couple of the others. And I just started going to practice. I went to a couple of their practices. And then I remember being like, well, they haven't asked me back, so that's probably done. Like, I'm not gonna keep inviting myself back.
Hmm.
And so I wanted to be on No Outlet, like, because I had heard of them before I even moved back. And that was sort of like a secret dream of mine, like to be on No Outlet. But I didn't think it was ever going to happen. So I sort of had put that out of my mind and I had set my sights elsewhere. And then Katie sent me a Facebook message and said, we'd like you to join us.
Oh.
So, yeah, it happened kind of quickly. Like, I had put it out of my mind, and then all of a sudden, there I was.
Surprise.
Doing the thing I wanted to do. It sort of fell into my lap, but in a very good way.
Nice. Tell me about your experience being a vegetarian, please.
Sure. My experience. So I grew up like your typical Midwestern child, eating a lot of meat. My dad hunted. I actually hunted too. I went hunting with him for several years. I could never do deer. I never shot a deer because they were very cute.
Yeah.
But I did go turkey hunting.
Shot a turkey?
I did. Yeah. Every year.
The rifle or bow and arrow?
Shotgun.
Shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a rifle would probably explode a turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not the best. Also harder to like aim. Because a rifle's like one bullet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shotgun's like, poof, and then
you get the spray.
It's like a pepper spray of, it really ups your chances.
But turkeys have pretty good eyesight, right? Like you have to wear the full camo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had like a full face mask and like boots and everything was camo. It was pretty badass. Sorry, I have this cough and this is going to come off.
Is it contagious?
No.
Okay.
It's just persistent. So anyway, yeah, I did that. I ate a lot of meat. And then my junior year, the summer between my junior and senior year of college, I went away to this biology camp because I was a biology major. And you could get some of your credits done by going to this like camp up in northern Michigan, which sounded amazing. And it was, mm-hmm. And I met a girl there who was a vegetarian, and I had kind of been toying with the idea for a long time, but like just wasn't ready to pull the trigger. So there was a cafeteria at this camp, and every day they had a vegetarian option. And I'm like, this is the easiest thing, yeah. The easiest time to do it if I'm going to do it, because I don't have to cook it. I just can just choose this option. So I did that, and it was like 3 weeks. And then I realized I hadn't eaten meat, and I was like, I'm going to keep this going.
Hmm.
And I did that for 11 years.
11 years?
11 years.
And now you're, is it off the wagon? Or on the wagon?
It depends on what wagon you're talking about. But I think if you're talking about vegetarianism, I'm off the wagon.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the deciding factor?
So I went on this vacation. When was that? I think that was November.
Of last year?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think. Hold on a second. Things get fuzzy. It was a couple months ago. Actually, I think it was January. We went on this trip to this all-inclusive resort because, like, we never go on vacations. And I was like, I don't want to have to find food. I just want somebody to, like, make it for me and have it be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there, and they had all of these amazing meal choices, and there was, like, nothing vegetarian. There was, like, one pasta roll-up thing and one veggie burger.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband, who also I converted him a couple years in, so he had been a vegetarian for like 7 years, we were like, let's just do it. We'll just do it here. And when we get back, we'll just go back. It'll be fine. It's going to be fine. It's
like one cheat day?
Yeah, like a cheat day. So the first meat I had was fish because I thought it's like a good, easy start. Yeah. He started with like a steak, which I thought was bold. It's a bold choice. I was worried about some indigestion issues.
Yeah.
I did not inquire if that was the case. But so I started with fish. So then the trip was over and I don't know. Just didn't stop. Just didn't stop. I felt like I was off the wagon, you know? I had already polluted myself, and there was no going back.
And the fish was that good?
And the fish was that good.
Hmm.
I liked it. I had some bacon. Did you know that bacon is so good?
Yeah.
it was like, I was like shocked. I was shocked. I didn't remember what it tasted like, because I had been eating the Morningstar Farms soy bacon for so long, and I had convinced myself that it was real tasting, but then I don't know.
Were you initially you were only vegetarian, right? You never went full vegan?
I was vegan for 2 months.
Oh.
My senior year of college. Okay. When it was all very new and I was like very on the wagon. And I was like, I need to take this to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
I need to one up myself. So yeah, I did that for 2 months, and that was really hard.
Yeah.
I know Josh is vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say I know that, I mean I just found that out like a couple weeks ago. And that is impressive to me.
Yeah, that takes a lot of resolve.
It takes resolve and it just takes like so much planning.
Yeah.
Like, props, Josh, if you're listening.
He is.
He is.
Yep.
He's one of the listeners.
Yep.
Along with mysterious Sean M.
Sean M. Every Monday he listens, so.
Every Monday?
Every Monday.
Every Monday from here to infinity.
And beyond. Yep. I'm not sure what day Matt listens on. These episodes typically get published Sunday afternoon to evening sometime. In case you want to listen to it.
I probably won't because I don't like the sound of my own voice.
Yeah, but you get used to it. I think it's worth listening to.
All right, I will.
I'm going to listen to it.
I'm listening to it right now. Are you? Oh, half I did it. What you told me not to do.
Oh, no.
I put my...
Oh.
Oh.
Sorry, Josh. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, Sean. Sorry, Tom.
And everyone else.
All the mystery people who might be out there.
All the listeners of the Grand Cast.
If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
We're getting deep, aren't we? This is taking a bit. Turn. This is taking a turn. I would tell myself that all of the things that you think matter don't matter. When you're 16, all of the things that you think matter, all of the friends that you care, whether they like you or not, it doesn't matter. Like, what you look like, I mean, I don't know if, like, men struggle with that the way that women do, but, like, 16-year-old girl spends a lot of time thinking about what she looks like, and it just doesn't matter. Give it 15 years, honey. You'll be fine. That's what good I would advice. Tell myself. And every other 16-year-old girl who might be listening.
Maybe. Who knows who's out there? It's the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody could be listening. Donald Trump could be listening to this.
He could be.
There's been some Trump discussion.
Here on the Grand Cast?
A little bit. I try to avoid political topics generally, but it's hard to avoid these days.
It is.
Someone's got to combat the liberal media agenda.
Is that you?
Sometimes.
Oh.
I'm an independent, so I like to play devil's advocate and kind of just instigate conversation.
Interesting. Are you going to do that? Were you prefacing that you're going to do that right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like to avoid it mostly, but sometimes guests bring it up and then we go off on that tangent and
yeah. It's fine. If it happens, it happens.
Yep.
I'm not going to force it because you don't do that when you're in a conversation with someone. You don't force your point of view. But if it happens, it happens.
Yeah. And this is a semi-improvisational podcast, so there's no set schedule of topics. Other than the list of questions I'm going through.
The list of topics that are set in front of you.
But I'm fine with deviating and
okay.
Exploring different paths. Next question, which is completely pre-planned and not at all improvised. How does writing comedy work?
How does writing comedy work?
Yes, I understand you do some like sketch writing.
I do, yeah. I started writing sketches. Well, I took a sketch writing class back in California when I was with Comedy Sports. So I wrote some sketches for that, but they were never sketches that were actually produced. Like nobody ever, you know, performed them. So I started writing sketches for Funny Girls. And I really like it. It's fun to like create these characters and give them whatever voice you want and then take them on this journey and then be able to like go back and fix it and rewrite it and like change it. Cause that's the thing with improv is like you get this one chance to make this scene happen. But with sketch writing, you can, it's sort of the same thing. Like a lot of sketches are based off of improv scenes. People will do improv scenes and then something funny will come out of it and that becomes a sketch. So when you're writing a sketch, it's just totally different. It's like you can be more thoughtful and you can take your time. And
do you think it's a deeper form of comedy or just a different form of comedy?
I think it's just a different form. I wouldn't say it's deeper, but I do very much enjoy being able to do it. I remember the first sketch I wrote and actually like saw people with like saying these words that I wrote and like watching it come alive is a very fun experience.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
And I want to do more of it.
What's your favorite sketch that you've had produced?
That of mine?
That people performed.
That I've written?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. This pauses me thinking. I know you like the dead air, so I'm not going to say anything.
Boop, boop.
Pop. He's got a pop screen on these, which I just learned was a thing, so I wanted to try it out.
Peter Piper. Peter Parker.
I don't know what my favorite one is. I wrote this one that I liked because when I wrote it, I was almost afraid to publish it or to give it to the group because I thought it was so weird and people were just going to be like, you are so weird. What is wrong with you? It was about this like hippie woman who had a tampon made out of a wad of cash, which with no context probably sounds weird to you.
Yeah.
But it like went over well. People told me that they really liked it. Oh, I know which one is my favorite. It's called Beauty and Brains, and it's about this brain in a jar.
Oh, yes. I've seen that.
Have you seen that one?
Twice. I saw it once at Gardella's in the basement.
That was the first time we did it.
Dog Story. And that was with Aaron playing Ruth, I believe.
Yes. Yes. So I think that's my favorite, just because it's weird, but it like it works and it ties in. I make myself laugh with it.
Beachbody.
Yes, the Beachbody Babes, where we give you a beach body worth bragging about.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
That was a good one. All right, this is a two-part question. Part one, if you could ask yourself one interview question, what would it be? And then I have a follow-up to that.
Do you ever give people a list of these questions beforehand? Has that ever been requested?
Is that your question?
No.
Oh.
I was just curious, because this is like...
No, I don't give people anything. This is spontaneous. Do you think it would be better if I did?
I mean, just selfishly, like for me, I wish I could have ruminated on this question for a minute, but what question would I ask myself in an interview?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What is something you want to do but you are afraid to?
Okay. And my...
Did it have to be comedy related?
No.
Okay.
Then my follow-up question to that is, what is something that you'd like to do but you're afraid to?
Oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh my gosh. You pulled a fast one on me. I have always wanted to go skydiving, and there have been so many times when I've like had a skydiving, like, you know, company open on my computer, and I'm like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then I don't do it. because I'm so afraid. Because I know, like, nothing ever happens, but sometimes it does. And I would be that person. Probably I just not. Watched a video today of a guy in a squirrel suit. Mm. You know, one of those things?
Yeah, the little wingsuits.
The wingsuits. And then there was this woman, like, on his back.
Ooh.
Like, she was basically, like, you know, riding him through the sky.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then at, like, the right time, they, like, you know, flipped off each other and opened their parachutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, that is amazing. I would like to do that. You know the other thing? I have another thing.
Okay.
I've always wanted to get a tattoo.
Hmm.
But I, like, have this crippling fear that I'm going to get something and regret it in a couple years. And people say, yeah. like, people say, like, well, don't think of it as that. Think of it as, like, a story of your life.
Hmm.
Like, you're going to get something, and maybe in 10 years it doesn't apply anymore, but, like, mm-hmm. you have, like, the stamp of that period of your life. But I'm then
forever.
I'm, but yeah, but then I'm like, yeah, but.
And you can't get buried in a Jewish cemetery. That's yeah. one of their rules.
Well.
Just in case.
I mean, that I didn't know that. So now that's, like, another on the con list.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's something.
Skydiving is terrifying.
Have you done it?
I did it once.
You did it?
In Allegan.
That's the place I was looking at.
They have this tiny little Cessna, like, I think the second year they were ever made, and it's designed for two people, but they mm-hmm. took out the passenger seat, and then they take up, you're like strapped to one of the instructors, so they've got four people in there. It's quite cramped. Just kind of like squatting there for the 10 minutes or whatever it takes to spiral up into the sky.
Who's the fourth person? So it's the pilot, you, pilot, the instructor.
And then another.
A guy just like standing there?
No, five people total. Instructor and another jumper.
Oh.
Yeah, five.
Wow.
The pilot doesn't jump, usually.
So it was scary?
Yes.
Like,
there's like so much apprehension as you're slowly climbing up into the sky.
Right. So I've heard that, like, when you're climbing and then you're standing at the door,
and you
that's
have to
scary.
Step out. Like, and grab onto the wing of the plane and just step out and then let go.
But then once you're actually falling, it's very fun, right?
When you let go, you do like a backflip and then a backflip and then a backflip. So it's, you're looking at like ground, sky, ground, sky, ground, sky. And then it's free falling for not that long. It's a few seconds, handful of seconds. It was just extremely scary.
What? I'm sorry, I'm flipping this. Now I'm like interviewing you because this is like, I haven't met that many people who have done it. But again, yeah. like I don't.
I'm glad I did it once.
Yeah.
Like, I've always thought that's been at the top of my bucket list, like to experience free fall like that.
Did you go with somebody, like with a friend?
Yeah, I think there was six of us total that went. And then I was on the last group that went up.
Mm-hmm. After everybody's all tired and like,
and there's
just want to get on with their day.
Yeah, so a lot of it too was like sitting there waiting for your turn. Like,
mm-hmm.
Thinking about splatting on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to like have too much time to think about those things.
No. And there's another one I think in like Battle Creek where like you jump out of a cargo plane with like a cord and then the parachute pulls like immediately and you just float down.
So you can do that one by yourself?
I think so. I don't know. That was a few years ago and I tried not to think about it too often.
Would you recommend it? Would you recommend doing it? You said you were glad you did it once.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that one just because the plane ride up is so uncomfortable. But I don't think I'd want to do the one where you're jumping out of a cargo plane either, because the free fall sensation is probably the best part, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you could find another one where you're jumping with an instructor and you get the free fall, but from a larger plane, maybe?
Yeah. Well, I've done those like wind tunnel ones. I mean, that's not anything like what it is for real. It's supposed to be like the sensation, but those are really fun.
Those and always look cool.
I feel like if I only ever did those in my life, I would be okay.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any of those around here, though.
I've never heard of it.
No? I forget what the company was called. They were all over California.
Well, there's another business opportunity.
I know. I'm going to write that down. Wind tunnel.
Hot beer and wind tunnel. You could probably combine them.
Ooh.
Like a hot beer bar that also has
wind tunnels. Look at you. Tunnels. You're like a businessman. Trying to be. D. Trump. Oh, sorry. Did that strike a nerve? Sorry, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah. If I could get a small loan of $1 million, then I would be fine with that comparison. How has being a mother changed your life?
Did you like research me before this?
Josh told me a little bit, and I knew a little bit about you just from comm.
I'm just kidding. How has it changed my life? Oh my God. How long is this podcast?
As long as you want to take. We're at an hour right now.
I think.
And I've got 3 questions left after this.
Well, it's changed my life dramatically. I don't think you can really describe how it changes your life. You are like completely and 100% responsible for another human who cannot at all help themselves. And that is exhilarating and terrifying and like rapturously glorious and terribly monotonous and like all of these conflicting emotions at the same time. Overall, good. Happy. I'm a better person because of it. You can ask a follow-up because I don't know if that answered your question.
I think it did.
Did it? Good.
Yeah, I don't know about any follow-ups.
I just feel like that was like a very loaded question. It's like a very big question. So if there was something like specific you wanted to know.
No, I was, I'm going to be becoming an uncle this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Well, congratulations to my sister more than it wasn't anything I did.
Well, you were born to somebody who had a child, so. And then, you know, your sister and whatever. It's fine. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can be a proud uncle.
Sure. I guess I'm kind of wondering, like, what to expect from that. Which isn't, like, a direct first-hand experience of becoming a parent, but
I think you will enjoy it. It's all of the fun and none of the direct responsibility.
The diapers?
I mean, I would suggest that you offer to change diapers. You can. You can. It's fine. It's not that bad. You wipe your own butt. You can wipe another person's butt. A tiny, tiny person.
Do they make baby bidets? Is that a thing?
They do, actually.
Oh.
Kind of. Yeah. If you cloth diaper, they make this attachment that you can, like, attach to the plumbing of your toilet so that you can, like, rinse the diaper out. But then a lot of people also, like, hose the baby off.
I just saw on the Facebook that Josh's friend Joe, he comes to comm sometimes. I don't know if you met him. Tall guy.
What's his last name?
Starts with an A. I want to preserve his...
his anonymity.
That's right.
Okay, I don't know him.
He's got a beard.
I'm sorry, Joe. I probably know your face. Do you think Joe's a listener?
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
he hasn't made it known.
Josh can apologize to him for me.
But he had posted about how he had recently gotten a bidet and it was life-changing and he wanted to advocate for
it. My husband really, really, really wants a bidet. Like,
It's like a $35 attachment, and it just goes in your normal plumbing.
Oh, no. Like, no, he doesn't want that one. No, he wants the one from Japan that sings songs and, like, it has, like, custom settings and, like...
plays music and talks to you and...
Yeah, all that. He actually works for a large software company, which is... I'm not going to say the name because we're doing this, the anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
But when he worked for this company out in California, the bathrooms all had heated bidets.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
So you sat down and they were at like a balmy, like 100.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like definitely above body temperature.
I wonder if they have cooling ones for the summer.
I don't think so, because I would think it would always be nice to sit down on a warm seat in an air conditioned building.
Yeah. I don't have air conditioning here, so I would want a cooling one for the summer. I think that would be refreshing.
Mm-hmm. They're very popular in Europe days.
One of my greatest regrets in life, I used to have an apartment that had a bidet, but I never used it. I was always apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a slippery slope.
But now that you're older.
I wish I had done it.
You wish you had done it.
See? Yeah.
Do you think that that's what you would tell your 16-year-old self?
Try that bidet.
Would you use the bidet?
If I could only say one thing, yeah, probably. Just like go for it.
Because I think the phrase like use the bidet can be like a metaphor for lots of things. Like just go for it, right?
Yeah. Like don't hold back.
Don't hold back.
You got that opportunity. Like it's...
Yeah.
It's not going to last forever.
You can't take it with you.
Yeah.
You only got one chance. Use the bidet. Yep. Now I feel like I could get that tattooed on me.
Use the bidet?
Yeah.
People would be... They would ask. That'd be a good conversation topic. Conversation starter. Like, what? Why?
Yeah.
Probably be a good t-shirt, too.
Yeah. Maybe we could sell the t-shirts at the hot beer place.
Yeah.
And
also have bidets tunnel. In the restroom at the beer place.
Yeah.
Really, people get a unique experience in the wind tunnel and then they get to broaden their horizons in the bathroom.
I would go to this place.
Oh, yeah.
I would go.
That'd be a destination.
It'd put West Michigan on the map for sure.
Yes, several maps, probably.
Yeah, world maps.
Yeah.
Wow.
An international destination. What are some of your favorite restaurants around town, and what do you like to order?
I love restaurants. I like to cook, but I don't that much. And so any excuse I can have to like try a new restaurant, I take it. I love Indian food. So Curry Kitchen is my go-to Indian.
Over on Fulton?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Very good. I also like Little Africa across the street from that.
Never tried that.
Ethiopian. It's pretty good.
What kind of dish do you order there?
I always get, if there's a sampler plate available at a place, I always get that. So they have like a sampler platter and it's all vegetarian. The whole restaurant is.
Okay.
So, yeah, they have like a sampler and you can get, have you ever had Ethiopian?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's so good. I don't know
if I've ever had any African cuisine at all.
It's very good. It's sort of a little bit like Indian in that it's like all kind of like curries. It's like curried lentils and curried all kinds of stuff. And then there's also like vegetables and you eat it with your hands. You eat it with, well, not with your hands, but with bread. They serve this bread called injera that you like rip off and use it to eat.
Is it similar to naan?
No, it's spongy.
Spongy.
And kind of... cold, usually, or like maybe room temperature. It's usually not served warm.
Is it thicker?
It's not thicker. It's about the same thickness as like a naan.
Hmm.
It's very sour. It's kind of like a sourdough. Ooh, in flavor.
I like that.
You should go.
I will. That's a very good recommendation. Thank you.
Yeah. Are we done with this? Because I can
keep
going.
No, continue.
I love donkey, as we talked about before, even though it's not very authentic. One time I went there, and they, you know how all their tacos have like a little topping?
Mm-hmm.
Like crispy onions or like pickled radishes or like something. Mm-hmm. They put the wrong topping on my taco, and I've never seen anybody be so apologetic about something. So I was just like, it's fine. Like, I already ate it, whatever. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to take that off your bill, and I'm going to get you a free guac and chips.
Wow.
Because she put the wrong topping on the taco. And I mean, I didn't say no.
Yeah. Guacamole is delicious.
What else do I like? I just tried the Sauvignard.
Oh, how was that?
That was good. I went there with a friend, and we went to town. We
did some pickled stuff.
We got some pickled stuff. We basically just did a tour of the menu. It was a good thing.
That's very close to the top of my list of places I want to try. I also want to try Luna Taqueria on Ionia.
I haven't tried that either. Yeah, I walk by it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try anything.
Have you been to the Lazy Susan?
I haven't.
That would be my recommendation for you. It's the former head chef from Grove. Have you been to Grove?
I have, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, he left there, I think it was this summer, to open his own place in Standale called the Lazy Susan.
Sorry. Sorry, listeners.
Sorry, Josh. Sorry, Tom. Sorry, Sean. Sorry, Matt.
I heard about this place, the Lazy Susan. I have not been there, but I've heard of it because I grew up in Standale.
Mm-hmm.
Right behind the Applebee's, right there. Before there was an Applebee's. I still think Applebee's is like the new hotness, but it's not. Been there for a while. But yeah, and I was like so shocked to hear that somebody would open a place like that in Standale. I haven't tried it though.
It's very good, and the atmosphere is very cool. It's like grandma's house from the, like, a grandma from the 60s or something.
Cool.
Very good atmosphere, very good food. You are the coach for Plant Parenthood, an improv troupe that I am the unofficial fan club president of.
Yes.
Tell me about being their coach.
I like Plant Parenthood a lot.
Me too.
I know. We have that in common.
Would you like to join the fan club?
I
it's just a list on my phone of people's first names.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would be improper of me to not.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Like, if you don't want to
as
be on,
as you were
just
pulling your phone out of your pocket, I felt like.
Tell me after the show and I can take you off.
Oh, no, you can. No, you can add me.
You're number 8, by the way.
Oh. Would it be against policy if you told me who else was on it? Could I just read it and you don't have to? Now I put you on the spot. Oh, see? Oh. Mm-hmm. I only know 2 of those people, so.
Oh.
Oh, no, I don't. Is Al the Al that I'm thinking of?
Alistair.
Yeah, okay. Is Dugan the Dugan that I'm thinking of?
How many Dugans do you know?
Just the one.
Probably.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
How many Dugans do you know?
13.
13 Dugans?
No, just the one.
It's the one. Yeah, we know. It's just the one Dugan.
The best Dugan.
The best Dugan that I know, for sure. I yeah, they're a great group of guys to work with. They're fun. They are interested in the Spokane, which is a form of improv that I wasn't super familiar with before, but that's what like we've been working on, and I really like it. I think they're good at it.
Did you start coaching before or after Emily went on hiatus?
After.
Okay.
Yeah, so I left, or I started right after Mike Nichols left. But yeah, and now Cameron's gone, so now it's down to four. So we'll see. We'll see where the wind blows Planned Parenthood. We actually had a little bit of a Planned Parenthood turf war.
Turf war?
A turf war.
A kerfluffle?
A little bit of a kerfluffle, yeah. There's a smoking post outside of Stella's. Like where
on
people
the Commerce
put their
side?
Where people put their cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, there was a Funny Girl sticker on top of it.
Oh.
And just recently, we noticed there was a Planned Parenthood sticker on top.
On top of the Funny Girl
sticker. On top
sticker.
Of it, yeah. I actually have a video of this.
Oh.
So, I mean, a wrong had to be righted, and it was.
Did another sticker go on top, or was theirs removed?
Oh, another one went on top.
That seems better.
Yeah.
Is there beef now?
I don't think there's beef. I think things are back to the way they should be, but I haven't checked the smoking pole. So I don't know. I don't know if, you know, I don't know. There's this whole thing with Zach and Tom, and I know the turf wars are kind of a thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of contention
mm-hmm.
in the comedy scene.
I like to think it was just an accident.
Probably.
I mean, I don't know how you would accidentally put your sticker on top of our sticker perfectly placed and lined up, but I just like to think of the good in people, and I'm pretty sure that it was maybe somebody had it in their hand and they were gonna put it someplace completely different and they sneezed.
It could have been a third party.
It could have.
It wasn't.
What you didn't see, people listening, is that Chris just motioned and mouthed, "It could have been me." And previously, I had not even considered this option, but now I really feel like things are falling into place.
Fan club president?
Motive is there?
I've been to Stella's in the past week.
So zero alibi.
Oh, it was a week and a half ago.
I'm going to keep my eye on you. So let's just move along.
All right. The final question of the interview portion. What are the most common mistakes that improv comedians make?
I think just trying too hard. It's just kind of like the basics of improv. I think if you take like a basic improv class, and they'll tell you about all the different things you need to do and need to not do. So trying too hard to push your own storyline in a scene and kind of going along with that, not listening. So if you're not listening to what the other members of your team and your scene are saying, then you are much more likely to just kind of disregard what gifts they're giving you and kind of push your own narrative along. Those are the hardest scenes, I think, to be in.
I'm just reflecting on how that might apply to a conversational podcast.
Hmm.
like how I should be listening to my guests' responses and not thinking about the next question, really digesting what they're saying and delving deeper with follow-ups.
I feel like you're doing a pretty good job of that. I also feel like because you have a list of all the questions in front of you, you don't really have to be thinking about what the next question is. I think it'd be interesting if you did this, but you also had to come up with the questions on the fly.
100% improvised.
100%. And like, not even were you not allowed to write them down, but you like consciously had to not even think about what you were going to say.
No preparation.
No prep.
Huh. Yeah, I might try that for an episode.
Because if this is going to be about improv, like, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I should eat what I'm cooking. I don't know if that's...
Is that a saying?
Maybe. Huh. It is now.
I'm going to write it down.
Eat what I'm cooking.
Eat. I'm writing it down on this piece of paper that he very graciously provided me. Do you do this for everybody?
Yeah. I'm trying to become a better host.
Well, you're doing a good job. I mean, you did give me a beer after you offered me 17 other things, but we got there. We got there.
That's the important thing.
It's the important thing.
So that concludes the interview portion of the podcast. I've been meaning to get a transition into the break setup, like a musical transition, but I haven't been able to yet. So if you wouldn't mind doing some sort of musical, whatever you feel like doing,
sounds, can we do it together?
Songs or...
No?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm learning improv
okay.
lessons also.
And
then ring the bell whenever you feel like we've concluded so I can stop the recording.
Okay. Can you beatbox?
I've never tried.
I always wanted to be good at it, but I'm not really. I can do like a...
I could probably do that if that's what you're looking for.
Okay, do that.
Mm-hmm.